Freedom from being trapped usually requires outside intervention. Just a little over 2 years ago, there were 21 people trapped in the Sky Cabin, a ride at the amusement park, Knott's Berry Farm, over there in Orange County. And they were stuck 148 feet in the air on this Sky Cabin, about 15 stories. Happened about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and for about 3 hours, the park worked on trying to get them down, and it wasn't about to happen. And so during that time, the people outside are wondering, what is going on? You know, what's going to happen? Can this thing just drop out of the sky? And so about 5 o'clock, the park calls the fire department, and the firemen come out. They kind of assess the situation. And they realize that there's no way for them to walk down. There's no inner steps there. There's no way to climb down. They try putting the ladder up, and the ladder doesn't quite reach. There's a company with cherry pickers. They come over, and they can't reach it. And so the firemen go into the Sky Cabin, and they tell the people, we're going to lower you by a rope. And, of course, that's a little concerning. So the people, they reassure the people, we're going to put a harness on you. We're going to have a harness on us. We're going to hold you all the way down. There were 7 children, by the way. They told the people, I'm not sure this would really matter to me at that point, but the rope has 9,000 pounds of breaking power, so there's no way it's going to come apart on the way down. These people had to make that trip. By God's grace, they made the trip. By 10 o'clock, all 21 were rescued. All 21 were back on stable ground. That rescue would not have taken place without outside intervention, without the fire department coming in to save the day. We celebrate Easter because of outside intervention coming in to rescue us, to rescue mankind. You see, mankind is trapped in sin, enslaved to sin, in bondage to sin. That's how God's word puts it. And we live in fear and death, fear of death. Not only that, we carry around guilt and shame from sins committed, and we are condemned to an eternal death, apart from God, for all eternity in a place called hell, a place of eternal judgment. That is what Scripture tells us is the plight of mankind, that we are trapped. We are enslaved. We are in bondage. But thank God for outside intervention. Jesus came to make a difference. I want to look at Scripture, and first I want to look at the condition as God describes it. The Apostle Paul wrote this under the guidance of the Holy Spirit in Romans 3:23. He said, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So he's capturing everyone who has ever lived, ever been born since Adam and Eve. All have sinned. So that includes you and me today. Everyone has sinned, and that sin simply means to miss the mark. What is the mark that we miss? Well, it's the perfections of God, the glory of God. We miss the glory of God. We don't match up to God's perfections, and so that puts us in a state of sin. We are predisposed to offend God. We are born as sinners, and we practice sin. We are deserving of wrath, is what Scripture says. We are not as bad as we can be. In other words, we don't just go out and commit every crime in the book. We don't have the police after us all the time, or CIA or FBI. But we are as bad off as we can be, because we are trapped in sin and we are facing death. That's the plight of mankind. Well, that's bad news, but it gets even worse, because there's a payment to be made for being a sinner. And Paul says this in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death. You work all week, Your employer gives you a check. That is your wages. That is your payment. And Scripture is telling us that because we are sinners, our payment, the payment that we must make for that, is death. God requires death for sin. There must be a sacrifice. And so He requires our death. That is bad news. But thank God for the appearance of grace through the person of Jesus Christ. Being trapped in sin and death is far worse than being trapped in a sky cabin 148 feet above the earth. So the question arises, what will you do about sin and death? How will you handle your plight? What will we do about sin and death? The magnitude of the love and grace of God is seen in His outside intervention to rescue us from sin and death. Paul in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, puts it this way, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all mankind." Now, that doesn't mean everybody's saved just because Jesus Christ showed up through His birth and life and ministry and His death and resurrection. What it means is that He has come to take care of our sin problem. He has come to pay our penalty. He has come to offer salvation to all mankind. He offers salvation to everyone. And He can do that because He paid the penalty for our sin. Here's how Paul puts it in Romans chapter 5. We're skipping around just a little bit so that we can look at God's plan of redemption, the plan of salvation. And this is what Paul says in Romans 5, "But God demonstrates His own love, the magnitude of His loving grace toward us, toward you and me, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, He saw us in our helpless, ungodly, rebellious, sinful condition. And He stepped in. He stepped in. Christ died for us as sinners. This was not some cosmic accident. This was the plan of redemption. This was God's plan from before the beginning of time, that He would rescue us from our trap, being trapped in sin and death. And that is really good news. Jesus Christ offers freedom from sin to all who trust in Him. And what I want to do this morning as we look at Scripture is to look at three aspects of freedom that affect every one of us. We're going to look at three aspects of freedom through the three tenses of salvation. We're going to look at it through the past tense of salvation and the present tense of salvation and the future tense of salvation. The past tense is the idea that we have been freed from the penalty of sin. And that's good news. And so if you're here and you have not yet trusted Jesus as your Savior, if you have not yet received the free gift of salvation, this is an offer that Jesus makes to you. He has come, He has appeared to offer grace to all mankind. The present tense is one that you are living in right now if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you are living in the present tense where we are being freed from the power of sin. And the future tense is one that we look forward to when we'll be free from the presence of sin. So I want to look at those three aspects of freedom through the three tenses of salvation. Let's look at the first one. The first one is the past tense of salvation. We're going to turn to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. We've already looked at verse 11. And in this little paragraph, Paul kind of writes like we talk. He just kind of bounces all over the place. So we're not going to go 11 through 14, but we are going to cover all of the verses. And we're going to look at that past tense first. It's the idea that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin, that He appeared that He might go to the cross and take on your sin and my sin and pay the penalty for death. We were deserving of wrath, and Jesus Christ died for us. We can be forgiven of our sins because of his sacrifice. Let's look at the first part of verse 14. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed. He came to give himself. I want you to think about that. I want you to note those words. Jesus gave himself. Jesus gave himself for us. That's incredible. He gave himself. He went to the cross to be a sinless sacrifice in our place. He was our substitute. He paid that penalty for sin that we could not pay. And that's incredible. Grace has appeared. And that allows him to offer salvation to all who believe in him. Fully human, he was able to die for the sin of the world, and fully God, he was able to make eternal payment that is sufficient for God's requirement. Jesus gave himself, and I like the fact that Paul put that word in there, because when we read that Jesus gave himself, we are reminded that this was a voluntary choice on his part. He came, he laid down his life. It wasn't taken from him. He submitted himself to the will of the Father, that in obedience he might go to the cross. He did this out of love for you and me. He gave himself for us. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. We are sinners. He is not. He is a sinless sacrifice, and he was able to go and take on our sin. All of our sin was transferred to him. He died for every sin, past, present, and future. He paid the penalty for you and for me. And if you have trusted Jesus Christ, you have been freed from the penalty of sin, because that payment of death has been paid through Jesus Christ. If you have trusted him as Savior, that means you have received the free gift of salvation. Your sins are forgiven, and you've received the free gift of eternal life, and salvation is now your possession. That's the past tense of salvation. I want to look at the present tense of salvation now, that we are being freed from the power of sin. Penalty has been paid. Now we are in the process of salvation. Theologians call this sanctification. We have been sanctified or set apart to God, and we are being freed from the power of sin. You see, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he broke the power of sin. That sin that we were entrapped with, that sin that we were in bondage to, Jesus Christ broke the power of that sin. And as we walk with Jesus Christ on this faith journey throughout life, it is a process of being freed from the power of sin. Sin no longer has dominion over us, but we still struggle with sin. We have the power to choose righteousness. And as we walk with Jesus, as we depend upon him, as we trust him, we have a growing desire to choose righteousness. And through his word and the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells us, we are able to live freely from the power of sin. That's an incredible gift that Jesus Christ has given to us. This process is ongoing. And right here in Titus chapter 2, Paul lays it out for us that this is the purpose. This is why we've been chosen, that we've been chosen for holiness. That's why we've been redeemed, that we might honor God with our lives. And so he writes this in verse 12. Grace has appeared, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. By God's grace, we can choose righteousness. We don't have to sin. We will, and we'll struggle with it. But Jesus Christ broke the power, and the Holy Spirit indwells us to allow us to use our bodies as instruments of righteousness, to please God, to say no to ungodliness and yes to obedience to Jesus Christ. And when we do that, he increases our joy, but we also live life as God designed it. We live within his boundaries, and we don't suffer all the consequences of our own foolish choices. That's the present tense of salvation. Paul goes on at the end of verse 14, and he says this, that Jesus Christ redeemed us to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. He kind of raises the bar there, doesn't he? He kind of knocks it up a notch. It's not just that, hey, I want you to say no to ungodliness and yes to righteousness. It's not just that you have that freedom now from the power of sin in your life, but I want you to be zealous about it. I want you to be eager to serve me in this world. I want you to be zealous about living by faith in me, allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you. Isn't that fantastic? That's what we can celebrate as followers of Jesus. If you've already given your life to Jesus Christ, he not only paid the penalty for sin, but he broke the power of sin so that we are being freed from that power as we walk with him in this life. When we begin to grasp the power of the death of Christ and his resurrection, we begin to live in such a way that it is opposed to the world's values, the world's priorities, the world's perspective. We begin to think of life as Jesus thinks of it. We begin to move through life as Jesus moved through life. He changes us from the inside out and transforms us into his character, which is one of peace and love and joy, goodness and gentleness and kindness, faithfulness, self-control. These are aspects of his character that we are being changed into as followers of Jesus Christ. We are no longer predisposed to offend God because we are free from the power of sin. The past tense is that we've been freed from the penalty of sin, and the present tense is that we are being freed from the power of sin. And we look forward with an assured conviction, a certainty, a hope to the future tense of salvation, that we will be like Jesus. We will be freed from the presence of sin. Even though you are a follower of Jesus Christ, even though you have trusted him and received forgiveness of sins, you are still assaulted by sin in this world. And you still choose to sin occasionally in this world. But all of us look forward to that day when we will be freed from the presence of sin. The book of Revelation, the Apostle John was given a vision of heaven, and he tells us that there is no pain, there's no sorrow, no suffering, no death, not even any tears. There is full joy in this sacred adventure called heaven in the presence of Jesus Christ and in the reunion with everyone else who is united to Christ by faith. We look forward to that day, and this is what Paul says in Titus 2, verse 13. He says, we look for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. That gives us something to look forward to. That gives us something when we are knocked down by life, when we are trying to stand upright in a fallen world, we can look forward with great hope. And I want to go over to John's words in 1 John 3:2, where we get an idea of what that will look like. Theologians call it glorification or having a glorified body. What we are told is that our body will be like the glorified body of Jesus Christ, the body that the disciples saw after his resurrection in all of those appearances. 1 John 3:2, we read this, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. Isn't that incredible? What a great thing to look forward to, that when Christ returns, this process of transformation, this process of being freed from the power of sin, will be consummated as we are transformed fully and completely into the same glorified body that he has. We shall be like him. That's worth rejoicing over. That's worth getting excited about, and it's the kind of thing that gives us hope as we consider the future tense of salvation. How will it take place? Well, in Philippians 3, Paul said this. He was talking about our citizenship, which is in heaven. Then he says, "The Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of his power that he has, even to subject all things to himself." You see, our freedom comes about because of the outside intervention of Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty for our sin to rescue us from bondage to sin and death, condemned to eternal death in hell. He has broken the power of sin on the cross that we might be freed from the power of sin in our lives, and that we might become more like Jesus on this faith journey. And then he will break in and transform us completely, giving us glorified bodies when he returns. That is freedom. Three aspects of freedom in three tenses of salvation. So the question remains, what will you do about sin and death? If you've not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then Scripture tells us, God's Word tells us, that you're trapped in sin, and that you're deserving of the wrath of God through an eternal judgment in hell. But there's good news, because there's really nothing that you can do about it. Jesus Christ has done everything. Grace has appeared. He did all the work on the cross. In fact, he even said, "It is finished, paid in full." He had made complete payment for all the sin of the world while hanging on the cross. He died and he was buried and he rose again from the dead. And that is good news. And the good news gets even better, because you can receive the gift of salvation by faith. Faith simply means that you trust God. You trust Jesus Christ. You believe that he is God the Son, that he is who he said he is, and that he did what he said he did, that he went to the cross on your behalf. He took on your sin, died for it, paid the penalty, was buried and rose again, victorious over sin and death, and he offers life to you. There was an individual in the city of Philippi that cried out to the Apostle Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" And he just simply replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And I'm going to ask you to do that today if you have not yet trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That may seem confrontational to just walk into a service, but maybe you're here because it is Easter. Maybe you're here because God, the Holy Spirit, nudged you and brought you. Maybe you're here because you realize your need as a sinner. And I invite you to receive the free gift of salvation. You can just do that in your place, in the silence of your heart. I'm going to ask everybody to bow your heads. And if you're a follower of Jesus, if you received salvation, I invite you just to thank God, to make another commitment of your life, to be freed from the power of sin, to walk with him in obedience and righteousness. I invite you to look forward with great hope to the time we will be with Jesus and see him as he is. And if you have not yet trusted Jesus Christ, I invite you to talk to God through prayer. I'm going to say a little prayer, and if you want to say that in the silence of your heart, if you want to repeat it after me, feel free. If you would like to receive this free gift of salvation, Jesus Christ has done all the work. Grace has appeared, and he offers salvation to all who believe. I invite you to talk to God something like this. "Dear God, I know that I am a sinner, and I am worthy only of death. And I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin in my place. I believe that he rose from the dead and that he offers salvation to me. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin, and I gladly receive your free gift of eternal life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you talk to Jesus that way for the first time this morning, you are a believer in Jesus Christ. You're an our follower of Jesus. He has saved you from the penalty of sin, and you've now have salvation as your possession, and you are free to walk with Jesus. And we celebrate with you. I'd love to hear from you afterward in the hallway. If you trusted Jesus today, we'd love to plug you in on how to walk with Jesus, how to become part of a church family, and remain faithful to him over your lifetime journey with Jesus. If you are a believer, let's celebrate. Let's continue to remember and recall the great and glorious work of Jesus Christ on the cross for us, because we know that sin and death have been dealt with through his power, and we experience his presence every day. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the cross for our sin. Thank you for offering life to all who believe in you. The simple gospel is so filled with grace. We have done nothing to earn your favor. We have done nothing to achieve your perfections. You simply offer us salvation by faith. You have done all the work, and we give you thanks for that, Jesus. I thank you for those that have come to Christ today. I thank you for those that are walking with you, Jesus, and I pray that you would give us the grace to say no to ungodliness and yes to righteousness, that you might be honored and praised, that we would show great gratitude for what you have done for us through your death and resurrection. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.